Okay, you're all set.
Good evening, everyone. Calling the meeting to order at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, May 11th, 2022. As the first chair, I'm taking over chairing duties today as our chairman, Regis, can't make it tonight. And so I guess that allows us to jump into our first order of business, which is approving the meeting minutes for four meetings, April 9th, April 13th, April 20th, and April 21st of 2022. And can I entertain a motion? Get a first from Kathy and a second from Travis, it looks like.
Trouble getting in, just, but go ahead.
All in favor of passing the four meeting minutes, say aye. Raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And none abstaining, I don't believe. Thank you. Moving on to our second point of the meeting is our public comment on the agenda items. Does any member of the public have any commentary they'd like to provide on the agenda items as laid out this evening? All right, none heard. Let's move on to the meat of the meeting, which is a discussion of our public hearing presentation on May 16th and May 19th. As Fawn sent out, there's been a change in the location for the May 16th hearing. Is that right, Fawn?
That's correct. We're going to be at the Modena Firehouse. I just thought I had the address here in front of me, but I should have it. Sorry, I thought I had it right here in front of me. Went to look for the calendar and I guess I moved it. Hold on.
It's a 1953 Route 4455.
That's correct.
Anyway, just for the record, so please do not go to the other location. It'll be at the firehouse. and then I guess this begs the question, how we will be going about leading this presentation, what sort of technological availability we have. And I guess I'd like to ask to start out how this went down 10 years ago. How were things presented? What, if any, information was shared ahead of time? How was the public engaged to speak at the meeting? Were there limits on the time that each person could speak, things like that? I guess Fawn, if you could share your thoughts on this, but probably Rob too.
Yeah, I think Rob was there also. We, of course, we didn't have the ability to do anything electronic like Zoom at the time. So people had to physically come to the meeting. They made a brief presentation about sort of how they got there and made some of the decisions. That was a big change the last time. That was a dramatic change. And they do set time limits for people to speak. One of the hardest things that generally for commissioners, I know for legislators, is to not to accept the public comments. Sometimes they're going to ask you questions or make criticisms you're going to be dying to explain to them. Generally, you don't want to do that. You want to just sort of let them make their comments. And, you make it clear that from the beginning that you're just there to accept their comments and you're not going to, you don't want to get drawn into a debate. And that was something that they had a little bit of a problem with, as I recall the last time. But I would suggest setting a time limit for the speakers. Usually the legislative session is 2 minutes. But 2 or 3 minutes is probably good. We can do the timekeeping. And one thing we've done at the request of the commission, we're going to try to set up a way for the public to make comments to you. Unfortunately, they are not going to be able to see the presentation. What's going to happen is I'm going to bring them on one at a time. We're not going to have a big Zoom meeting with all these people on it. They'll be in the waiting room. I'll bring them in one at a time. They need to see all of you, and you will be able to see them on my screen, and they'll make their comments, and then we'll go to the next person. The meeting will be recorded, not on Zoom. It'll be recorded on a tape recorder, like we do a live meeting, and then we'll go from there. My next question is, how is Rob going to get the map up on a screen for us to?
Right. Well, I'm a bit confused. Are you doing it? Is it in person, or are we having internet component to this?
It is an in-person meeting.
Okay. But you said you're only bringing in a few people at a time.
Yeah. Well, the public that's in the room will be in the room, and they'll be able to see the presentation and hear the presentation. But the people that decide to come to try to make comments electronically are going to be are not going to be in the meeting ahead of time. They're not going to hear the presentation. So this is something fairly new for us. And the clerk is not willing for us to run two meetings, to have one on Zoom and one in person. So this was the compromise that the attorneys, our legislative council came up with.
Well, I guess my first question is, do we know if we have internet at these two facilities?
I'm told we have internet access. I haven't gone to try it.
Okay. So I don't know if I want to rely on it. So I'm thinking, let's not rely on it.
I think that's a good idea.
As a first choice. So maybe I could either probably just display it in the standard program so that we can zoom in more easily, see roads, see features. And I think we just keep it at full screen, unless there's somebody from the public has a very specific comment on a specific area and wants us to zoom in. So I'll basically just be zooming in and zooming out, I think is what I'll be doing. Yeah, I mean, last time it was in front of a legislature, and I think it was at a legislative meeting. So it was very different in that they presented first, and then the legislature just kind of did their usual thing. So there was a lot of speeches, which wouldn't be the case at this time. So I think it would be more standard public comment. So I think it'll probably run more smoothly, I would think.
One of the best comments made by the legislature the last time, Wayne Harris said, you know, it's like whenever you look at a group photo, you first look to see what you look like in the picture. And I think that's very true. So, you know, that's a good analogy. If people don't like the way their district looks in the picture, they need to look at the whole picture. But the one thing you can do in your presentation too is try to head off any questions you anticipate. One of the things that several people pointed out since the map's gone public was the part of Ellenville that you cut away from the village, that's up around Lake Maritanza. It didn't make sense for those people at the top of the mountain to drive all the way into the village to vote when the people across the street were voting, you know, in Cragsmoor. So there was a very logical reason you did that. But it might be good to explain that to the public to let them know how thoughtful you were in making your determinations. I expect the contingency from Gardner to be there also.
Yeah, I guess that sort of begs the question. I know Regis had sent Andy and myself an outline of things that he wanted us to share. And admittedly, I haven't had the opportunity to really review it closely. But I guess it begs the question, do we want to keep it high level in, you know, here's the work that we've done, here are the considerations we've had to keep in mind, plus or minus 5%, you know, the 7,000 number for each district, or do we want to go on a tour of the map like that? It seems like it may be a little bit administratively difficult. Excuse my cat, who's now going up, zooming around the room, if you can hear that. Always great. You know, does anyone have any thoughts on how we can even efficiently, if we want to go on a tour of the map like that, how can we go about it in an efficient way?
Oh, I agree. Yeah, okay, sorry. Well, no, you go ahead, Ben.
I wonder if there's a kind of compromise. I think I agree that for the sake of the meeting, probably keeping our comments to a kind of a minimum and just giving a high level overview of who we are, what we did, what the process was. But then I think, I'm sorry, for examples like Cragsmore, where we had a very deliberate reason, I think it's okay to stay high level and then also give some specific examples of what we're talking about. Do you agree? So like pointing out Cragsmore and saying, you know, we did draw this line because there's cliffs involved and it made more sense not to have people drive down and around the cliff. And that's like similar to the way we thought about other lines that we drew in a similar way that maybe divided like municipality, but we were using topographical features and we thought about those things carefully. And then not say all of them.
Yeah, right. I would just maybe give some, I like the idea of a high level explanation and just get to some specifics, maybe as an example, use Ellenville as an example of why you followed those criteria as closely as you could, as long as it was possible and practical. And that was a place where you broke away from that, your criteria of keeping the villages whole or, you know, but there was a deliberate reason for that.
Does anyone else have any other thoughts on what we should or shouldn't share?
My thought was to stay high level unless somebody has a specific question about a particular area. There's no reason to answer it.
That was kind of my philosophy.
Like, why did you only might lead yourself into trouble or misspeaking or controversy? Why do that unless somebody actually invites you to say, okay, let's have a discussion on this?
That was mine as well.
I would avoid.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that also, though I do think end up, I guess I'm curious how we can work in our explanation for things that we get questions about in a way that doesn't, that's like a real explanation and doesn't come off as if we're trying to debate the speaker as they're, because I don't want it to be adversarial.
Right.
When you're going through a certain area, maybe Rob, if you have thoughts on that, or it's the
I think you should, maybe somebody should, as a committee, come up with a write up of reasons why you did things, or you are prepared, but you don't actually have. So I would be prepared, but not necessarily dig in unless your question. So this way, your reasoning is already laid out, and you're not doing it off the cuff.
Well, for not asking questions, I don't know what detail fits in.
Actually, and it is a public hearing. You're just there to hear their comments. So you can say, okay, thank you.
Sorry, I didn't hear you all that well when you were commenting. What was your comment?
Is that directed to me?
Yeah, I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Zoom glitch.
You know, if we're not answering questions from the audience and from the public, I'm not sure what value there is to get into details that would, right, you know, generate these questions. You know, if we stay at the high level, explain, you know, the high level criteria that we use. But as soon as you get into, we did Cragsmore, or why we did Ellenville a certain way, I mean, you're just inviting questions, and then what do you do?
Well, if you've seen the public comment we've gotten so far from the folks in Gardner, you should be aware an email went out to by the Democratic Committee of Gardner, and they've been writing, you know, I shared the letters with the commissioners that they want to keep Gardner whole. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they really understand the whole process or why Gardner was divided. I don't think you should get into that debate with them. They're going to come say they want Gardner to be whole, and you can say thank you.
Yeah, well, every town wants to be whole. I mean, yes, that was the basic criteria. Yeah. that was the basic assumption we worked with. Yeah, compromise on that.
The talking points that Regis made, I think, were fairly thorough, but I wouldn't have a presentation that's more than like 10 or 15 minutes if you're going to, you know, just talk about who you are and how the commission, you know.
Yeah, like I said, I haven't had a chance to look at it super thoroughly yet, but it did feel long to me. I didn't think that part of it was all the things that we've done as a commission since the beginning of the commission, and then some considerations that Andy was going to share about, you know, how we thought about the map. I think the part that I was asked to speak to, which is all the things that we've done, can I do hope to streamline it just so that we don't spend more time speaking than we spend listening. But I haven't been able to really look at it too closely to know what I think should be cut from it, but mostly just to talk about the map and, you know, not our website creation and things like that.
And other than the main number, you know, like the magic number you're trying to get and the 5% above and below, Regis got into a lot of numbers in that. My experience is with sharing numbers like that, because I happen to be a numbers person and I used to share numbers quite a bit, is people kind of glaze over once you give them more than like three or four numbers. So I would just streamline that for sure.
It's story just of my life.
I agree with you, Fawn. Plus then numbers get confused and you're misquoted and yeah.
One of the things the Gardner emails didn't seem to recognize was the loss of the impact of losing the prisoners in the numbers count. I mean, they made a comment that, you know, the population of this area hasn't changed that much. Mm-hmm. True, except that you removed 1,300 or 3,500 prisoners from the from the population counts.
Absolutely. But I suppose that's what we can explain in our report at the end of all of this. I'm assuming that we're taking the public comment and then we can explain our rationale later on.
Well, I was just suggesting that might be part of the overview.
Yeah, right, the overview.
That we include that so people know that even though their town didn't change that much in population, the population of that entire area changed dramatically.
I do think that there was a reference to that.
Yeah. I think one thing you could say is, okay, last time when we went through this, we had a dramatic change. We went from 33 to 23. This time we're having a dramatic change between moving to prisoners. Going forward, we might not see any dramatic changes. So the districts may not change that much next time. So you could say, oh, it might be more stable as we move forward. But fingers crossed.
All right, I guess, is there anything that, any other sort of item like that that people think is a must need in whatever presentation we have as presented? And then I think we could, unless anyone has anything else further to say about it, we could wrap up a discussion on how long we think each speaker should be allowed to have to speak. Okay. So must need items in our short presentation is the first question.
I have a speaker's timer folder that we use in the legislature. You let me know how many minutes they have and we can, certainly the people in the room, it's very easy to let them know. The people online, it might be a little more difficult. We may have to put it on your table someplace where they see this changing as they're speaking. It will require whoever's chairing the meeting to let them know that they need to wrap up their comments. And you could judge, like if you get there and there's two people, you may not want to set a time. If you get there and there's 30 people, you may want to say, you know, 2 minutes, we'll have you there for an hour.
Right. You know?
So.
Two people could have you there for an hour too.
That's true. You don't set a time.
You never know. I suppose that that's fair. We could see who actually shows up and maybe huddle up ahead of time to discuss a time. I don't know if this is technologically available to you, Fawn, but if you're bringing them in on Zoom, you may be able to share your screen and have the screen be a countdown clock. And then that could be a way for them to know also.
I'll play with that, see if I can
make it work. I've been on other things where that's been available as a shared screen. Okay, well, I guess the three of us will be working on shortening this presentation a little bit in alignment with things that we've discussed. And any last minute comments on our meeting for next Monday and Wednesday? Kathy, is that a hand raised? No. Okay.
Carol, did you have your hand raised earlier?
I was just going to wait till the public comment section.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. It's just coming up next. Sorry, Carol. I don't mean to ignore you.
And I have 10 cards with all of your names on it, so people will know who they're addressing when they're there. One thing Reed just talked about, you know, introducing, like, who are the commissioners, and he explained that you were 7 volunteers. Just whoever is doing that, I think should name you, you know, for the public and for the record. But I think you did a good job, and you should be very proud of it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll wrap up that, and I'm sure we'll all be in discussion as we move forward to Monday, just so that we're all on the same page. But with that, we'll move on to the public comment on the general topics for this this commission, and I'll recognize Carol Nolan first, since she has been patiently waiting with her hand raised.
Well, thank you. I didn't know whether you wanted to hear from someone who wasn't on the commission or not. I just wanted to say, so as Fawn knows, I'm a New Paltz resident, and I don't like that we are split up. I don't mind as much as the Gardner people do that Gardner got added to us. However, I trust your process, and I've seen, as you know, a lot of your process, and that makes me not at all militant about what I don't like about the result. So I think it's important to describe that process well enough that anyone who hasn't sat through these meetings has the same level of trust. I've tried to do that to the people I represent. The other thing I wanted to say is, one question I got asked was, tell me about the demographics of the commissioners. And so I think in that intro of who you all are, that the range of what your experience and location and perspective might be helpful, because I think it is kind of wide. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. We will take that into consideration for sure. I think Carol.
The commission is expecting a lot of people to compliment us on our work.
It would be very nice if we did get a lot of compliments. I'm assuming
we'll hear a lot. I don't like the way our town has been treated.
I'm assuming those who really like the map are not going to take the time to show up and compliment us for it. But it would be nice if they would. All right, on that note, any other non-commissioners have anything that they would like to add? Okay, nothing heard. I guess we could move towards wrapping up. Can I entertain a motion to adjourn?
Sounds good. I'll move to adjourn.
Is there a second? All right, well, I will be seeing you all in person on Monday and then Wednesday, and I'm sure we'll be in touch.
Thursday.
I will be there on Thursday, not Wednesday, but it's just in my calendar, which I rely on considerably. So have a good evening, everyone, and I will see you then.
Okay. And I apologize. My internet was very wonky tonight, so if I didn't hear or say,
it did great. Thank you.
It did great, Donna. Yeah, we'll the high level is we're going to be in touch about. We'll probably be in touch about what we're going to be speaking about.
Okay, but great. That I heard. Thank you.
Great. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.